Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, September 1st, and I am reading from the New International Version and the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. Today we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll read through chapter 2, verse 15. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peace and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Okay, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about what is going on in 1 Timothy. Remember, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy, who is in Ephesus. And Paul is addressing very specific problems in the church at Ephesus that are caused by false teaching. First, in this section, he tells them that they need to gather regularly for prayer gatherings. And then he reminds Timothy that God wants to rescue the whole world and that prayer is an important part of this. I'm leaning on the Bible Project video for much of what I'm saying here, and also on an article I found on the Sojourners website by John Zins. The next part here, he addresses men and women who are influenced by corrupt teachers. And first he talks about the group of men and he wants to shut them down. And then he talks about women and he talks about them treating the Sunday gatherings like a fashion show. Remember the part where he says, don't wear pearls and fancy hairdos, things like that. The Bible Project video said it this way. They were dressing so upscale that they were shaming other women who could not afford such a wardrobe. And so women were coming to the gathering with the wrong motivations. And not only that, they were usurping leadership positions and teaching others bad theologies. So it wasn't, I don't believe that it was just that women were teaching and he was trying to get rid of all women teachers. We know elsewhere that Paul commends other women co-workers in the gospel. It's that they are teaching bad theology. They've risen up in the church. They think they're hot stuff. They want to be teachers. They've never had this license before, but they are teaching things that are not in line with the scriptures. And then there's that weird verse at the end that talks about women being saved through childbearing. And you're scratching your head and you're thinking, what in the world are we talking about here? And that's where I'm going to lean on an article that I read. And also in speaking with Amanda McKay, who's in seminary at Beeson, we were talking about Frank Thelman, who's a theologian and teacher there. And he also espouses this view. Remember that in Ephesus, there is a false god named Artemis. And she is a god of fertility, and also the women and the men would pray to her to be the protector during childbirth. And so in that context, where in Ephesus, where this leading cultural phenomenon of praying to Artemis in childbirth is present, this verse makes a lot more sense when Paul is saying, don't pray to Artemis, rather pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can protect you through childbearing. I want to read the verse for us again. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Now, we know that this is not a verse that means that women are saved if they have children. That is inconsistent with the rest of the New Testament. We know we are saved by faith. No, we're saved by grace through faith. So it's God's grace that saves us. It is not childbearing that saves us. But I want you to see one more thing about this verse. I think that underlying all of this confusing talk about what does Paul mean, he's going back to the Adam and Eve story. And remember that Eve is cursed. She's going to have pain in childbirth. But also through bearing children, eventually from the line of Eve comes the Savior. And so because men and women come together in marriage and they have children, eventually the Savior comes from this lineage. And so I think there's that underlying message as well, that ultimately, although women are cursed in childbirth and have pain through it, Jesus Christ was born of a woman and he became a curse for us so that we can be reconciled to God. Okay, I wish we could stay on this for a while. If you want to talk more about it, email me, but let's move forward in the scriptures. Let's move forward to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 103. I have read this psalm a million times in my own life, and it has helped me to understand God's steadfast love, especially when my sin is so great. Of David. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now let's move forward to the book of Ezekiel. Today we are reading Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 1 through 16. The title in my Bible says, A Warning for Pharaoh. On March 3rd, during the 12th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, mourn for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and give him this message. You think of yourself as a strong young lion among the nations, but you are really just a sea monster, heaving around in your own rivers, stirring up mud with your feet. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will send many people to catch you in my net and haul you out of the water. I will leave you stranded on the land to die. All the birds of the heavens will land on you, and the wild animals of the whole earth will gorge themselves on you. I will scatter your flesh on the hills and fill the valleys with your bones. I will drench the earth with your gushing blood, all the way to the mountains, filling the ravines to the brim. When I blot you out, I will veil the heavens and darken the stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give you its light. I will darken the bright stars overhead and cover your land in darkness. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will disturb many hearts when I bring news of your downfall to distant nations you have never seen. Yes, I will shock many lands, and their kings will be terrified at your fate. They will shudder in fear for their lives as I brandish my sword before them on the day of your fall. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. The sword of the king of Babylon will come against you. I will destroy your hordes with the swords of the mighty warriors, the terror of the nations. They will shatter the pride of Egypt, and all its hordes will be destroyed. I will destroy all your flocks and herds that graze beside the streams. Never again will people or animals muddy these waters with their feet. Then I will let the waters of Egypt become calm again, and they will flow as smoothly as olive oil, says the sovereign Lord. And when I destroy Egypt and strip you of everything you own and strike down all your people, then you will know that I am the Lord. Yes, this is the funeral song they will sing for Egypt. Let all the nations mourn. Let them mourn for Egypt and its hordes. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. In the first part of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul reminds us of the importance of interceding for one another, calling out to the Lord on behalf of those that we know, for the kings, for ourselves, and also for the whole world to be saved. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the reminders in your word that we are saved by grace. Thank you, Lord, that as far as east is from west, so far you remove our sins from us if we confess them and if we confess Jesus as Lord. We pray, Lord, interceding right now for those who are at the top of our prayer list. We ask, Lord, your continued watch care over our families, over our churches, over our world. We pray for our leaders who oftentimes must find it difficult to know what to do. We pray specifically for those who have lost loved ones in the airstrikes in Kabul. We thank you for our armed forces and for those who are trying to keep peace around the world. Please protect them, Lord, and please be with the families of those who have fallen. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the world, and we pray for ourselves that we might live peaceably and with dignity. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.